This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you, Steve Vaughn also, as we apply a biblical world and life view to what is going on around us. We want to be as men of Issachar who understand the times, but also who apply a proper perspective of God's word, God's law to the world around us. Well, we update you on a fairly regular basis as to what is going on, especially in the fast-changing world in which the entire West is coming down in the socioeconomic sense. Now, of course, the epistemologic or the worldview sense, the foundations have been eroded for at least the last 120 years. But now we're seeing the effects of it in the collapse of the towers. Friends, you cannot build a tower on a rotten foundation. And the foundation has been jackhammered away over the last 120 years. So no surprise at all that the towers are starting to crumble. And the debt-to-GDP ratios are four, five, six times what they were 100 years ago. And the median income is crashing down, as well as the birth rate, the Social Security fund in the red, and so forth and so on. None of that should surprise us at all, especially as we apply a existentialistic worldview to our Keynesian economics and to the birth rate and to the slaughter of 80 million babies and all the rest. Ideas have consequences. These consequences have been utterly devastating in the Western world. So that's no surprise whatsoever to Christians who maintain a Christian world and life view. Well, the U.S. economy is shrinking at a 4.8% pace. That's the biggest in a very, very long time. But more importantly, with current filings, unemployment now in America has staggering 37 million Americans out of work. That's 30 million additional filings over the last 6 weeks. That puts us at a 24% unemployment rate, just shy of 24.9%, the record during the Great Depression of 1933. So we are now at 24% this week. That's 37 million Americans out of work, 24% unemployment rate, just shy of the 24.9% record during the Great Depression. So we are just about ready to break the Great Depression record. That should happen next week. And we will be equated to the Great Depression of the 1930s. The only question is, can we recover from this, given the breakdown of American character, given the breakdown and the massive, massive increase of the debt-to-GDP ratio, given the problems that are facing our modern society? It's hard to imagine that we could come out from under this as we did with the Great Depression. Now, of course, it took a world war to completely emerge out from under what we were dealing with in the 1930s. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't know how in the world will ever emerge out of this. But Fox Business is optimistic about, well, these small business loans. Steve, a second round of small business loans are evaporating and will evaporate, it says, by the end of the week. You know, they just voted on this in Congress, I'm going to say, what, 4 or 5 days ago, approved, what was it, $500 billion of new money to just feed out to all these small businesses. Not really loans, it's just giveaways, because you don't have to pay anything back. I don't know why they're calling them loans, but yeah just free money everywhere. Does that surprise no you, Steve, loans. That yeah. free money is going out really, really fast? I mean, is that a shocker to you?
I am shocked. Why mm-hmm. why would anybody want free money?
Yeah.
I mean why people love to work for their money. Why would they ever want free money?
Well, $250 billion a week, $250 billion in 1 week. Free money going out that I wonder if they could do $500 billion
in a week?
Maybe a trillion a week. Yeah. Maybe they push it to a trillion a week, and a fifth stimulus package is on its way. More drugs for the patient. Get more methamphetamines in this guy. Hey, I need more methamphetamines over here with this this economy over here. Get me some more methamphetamines. We got to get the drugs into the guy. Okay, well, that's the way to fix an economy.
Well, it's just like any household. It's just like any other household. You can spend yourself into prosperity. I mean, if you just keep spending money, you're just going to make money, yeah. right?
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of that letter that was written to the Department of Agriculture back in the 1980s. Remember, dear sir, my friend Ed over in Wells, Iowa, received a check for $1,000 from the government for not raising hogs. So I want to go into the not raising hogs business next year.
Sounds like a good business.
The letter goes on. It's a great business, yeah.
What I want to know, in your opinion, what is the best kind of farm not to raise hogs on? And what is the best breed of hogs not to raise? I wanted to be sure that I approached this endeavor in keeping with all government policies. I would prefer not to raise razorbacks, but if that's not a good breed not to raise, then I would just as gladly not raise Yorkshires or Duroc's. As I see it, the hardest part of this program will be in keeping an accurate inventory of how many hogs I haven't raised. Now, my friend Ed is very joyful about the future of the business. He's been raising hogs for 20 years or so, and the best he ever made was $422 in 1987 till this year when he got a check for $1,000 for not raising hogs. If I get $1,000 for not raising 50 hogs, will I get $2,000 for not raising 100 hogs? I plan to operate on a small scale first, holding myself down to about 4,000 hogs not raised, which will mean about $80,000 the first year. Now, another thing, these hogs I will not raise will not eat 100,000 bushels of corn. I understand that you also pay farmers for not raising corn and wheat. Will I qualify for payments for not raising wheat and corn, not to feed the 4,000 hogs I'm not going to raise? I want to get started as soon as possible. This seems to be a good time of the year not to raise hogs and grain. Also, I'm considering the not milking cow business. So send me any information on that, too. Okay. So. It's a classic. It's a classic.
Oh, my goodness. The problem is that it's way too true. And, you know, I coach a speech and debate, and this last year we studied the economy. We actually were studying banking, finance, and the Federal Reserve monetary policy. And one of the things I told the students was of the Great Depression, you know, the big depression in the early 1900s. And I told them that, you know, the depression was going to come, but it was the government that made it great.
Yeah. Which the government's always talented at that kind of thing. And personally, I think that's what's happening right now. This is what extends the life of depression. This is not what fixes it. Please make sure you get that down real, real good right now. This is how governments extend depressions into the most monumental, greatest depression the world has ever seen. This is how it happened in the 1920s. This is how it happens in the 2020s. Be back with more in just a moment. Friends, listen. There is nothing families need more than godly husbands and fathers, spiritual men, praying men, men who are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Oh, that God would raise up stronger men, gentle, faithful shepherds, covenant keepers, men who won't quit, men who stay in the battle, men who persevere when the going gets tough, sacrificial lovers, robust men, not snowflakes. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So the apostle tells us, quit ye like men, be strong. That's why the Shepherd's Conference each year in my home here in Elizabeth, Colorado. Let me tell you, it's the best fellowship, the best worship, the best encouragement, the best exhortation, 5 days of immersive study in the Word of God, prayer and fellowship at my place out here on the eastern plains of Colorado, September 28th through October 2nd this year. Here's the caveat. There are only 45 spots open. Reserve now at generations.org/shepherds. That's generations.org/shepherds. And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, Steve Vaughn also. And friends, we're dealing with a worldwide depression. This appears to be what is going on. Reuters polled over 500 economists on the potential of world economic recovery. And they found that 55% expected the recovery to look more like a U than a V. Now, some said it'd be a W, which means it goes up, down, and up, and so forth. Some thought it was going to be something of a check, or an L. Those were the more, you know, negative types. But it looks to me like 55% of economists, not that they know what's going to happen. Ultimately, God knows, because God has determined these things. And the heart of the king, and the heart of economists, the heart of everybody is in the hands of God. He turns it whithersoever he wills. And so much of the economy depends on the hearts of men. We know that. But it looks like 55% expecting the recovery to take some time. The economists pointed to the worst of the economic collapse occurring in these countries. All right. So this is where you're going to get the biggest GDP collapse. Here it is. United States, Canada, Europe, South Africa, Thailand, and Argentina. Those were the nations that the world economists are saying, hey, we're going to get hit pretty hard. Now, it turns out Japan and America have the most unstable economies in the world if you assume the debtor is servant to the lender. So applying a biblical view of things, and you say, okay, which are the big nations, the big dominoes that are teetering the hardest? The teetering dominoes in the world economy is the number one and number three economy in the world. Number two is China. China is teetering too, but nowhere near as much as Japan, which has been in recession or deflation for, what is it, 38 years? I don't know. It's been a long, long time.
Something
Japan
like that,
has never recovered, and it is just throwing debt at this thing like a madman, like Keynesian gone loco. That this is what Japan's been doing for the last 5 or 8 years, with Prime Minister Abe doing everything he can to let loose the Keynesian mania upon the problem. And his nation, of course, is going through the same thing now. As we are, Japan just did their own $1 trillion stimulus package. Even as, what did we do, 4 trillions or whatever? Japan is doing $1 trillion, taking their debt-to-GDP ratio from 237% to 260%. Or is it 280% or 290%? I don't know. It's just, it's so out of control, nobody's paying attention to it anymore. The debtor is servant to the lender. And friends, the U.S. federal deficit for 2020 will be something like $4.3 trillion. That's 21.4% of the GDP. That exceeds the debt racked up in 1944 during World War II, where the deficit reached 21.2% of the GDP. Of course, the GDP had gone into the toilet during World War II. And so we're effectively at World War II levels right now, meaning that typically, nations do poorly when they go through the tragedy and the horrific travesty of a world war. And that's what happened in World War II. It's the worst probably in this nation's history. Well, that's where we are today, all except for the fact we're not in a war, all except for the fact that we're just dealing with a character implosion and a breakdown of our national economy because of birth implosions and massive increases of debt to GDP. Well, I'm writing a book on the rise and the fall of the West. And it turns out, friends, it's not the COVID-19 virus that's taking the world economy down. There was no need to shut down the world economy. It was coming down in and of itself. Now, people are easily whipped up into fear. They're afraid to die. They're afraid of a lot of things. As we've said before, the death rate in America is actually down this year from last year, rather quite significantly, over the first 3 to 4 months of the year. But the Western world, the world's socioeconomic system is falling down. And it's falling down not because of the COVID-19 virus, first and foremost. It's not because of the Federal Reserve and the federal debt. That's not ultimately the problem. The problem is ideas. Ideas have consequences. It's ideas that are bringing this nation down. It's ideas that bring the economy down. It's ideas that bring the world economy down. It's ideas that put us into world depression. There's a worse virus than the COVID-19 virus. It is the spirit of human pride, which yields the spirit of fear or despair, and that is what's leading the markets. So, Steve, I'd like to take just a moment and talk about this worldview. There's two different ways to look at this worldview that has caused the dry rot in the foundations of the Western economies. It's the worldview that is pressing the West towards inevitable decline and is the worldview of despair. It's the worldview of meaninglessness, of hopelessness. It's the fact that man is stepping over the line of despair. And this is happening in the hoi polloi. This is happening not just with the elites. This is happening with the masses in our society today. And this is what is leading the market. It is a sense of negativity, to make it very simple. It's a sense of fear. It's a sense of pessimism that inevitably steps in when man realizes that he cannot save himself. And what happens is he steps over the line of despair. He flails around in desperation. And that is what is going on now. You know, I like to use the example that Francis Schaeffer used of Michelangelo's carving, his statue of the man who is carving himself out of the rock. You remember this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Yeah, this is the man who's carving himself out of the rock. This is the Renaissance man.
So how does he do that?
That's the question.
How does a man carve himself out of a rock anyway?
Yeah, that's the question. Well, what?
He doesn't have any hands.
Exactly. How do you carve yourself out of the rock when you don't have hands yet? What he's trying to do is say that man can define himself, that man can define his own truth, his own ethics, his own reality, that somehow man can define himself. And then he looks to himself to save himself too. But then eventually he discovers he can't do this because he has no hands. And this is the point at which he realizes there is no starting point for his own reality. There isn't a point at which he can say, this is an absolute truth I can receive and work off of. If he is trying to establish his own truth, his own existence, according to his own definitions. So this is the point at which he gives way to despair and to desperation. Now, we hear this in the culture. There's no melody, no resolutions to the music, just cacophony. It's meaninglessness, despair, screeches of desperation coming out of the speakers in the stores. If you've ever been to the grocery store, you know what I'm talking about here. This is the worldview of meaninglessness and despair and desperation. And he expresses this very well in his cultural expression, especially in music. But the problem is that man attempted to deify himself. He said, hey, I can be as God. I can define my own truth, ethics, and reality. I can define the ultimate right and wrong for myself. I will not submit myself to God or to the ultimate, the one, the sovereign God who created heaven and earth, who is the very source of all life, of all reality, of all truth and ethics. I will not submit myself to him, but I will create a God out of myself. Steve, this reminds me of Psalm 115. This was going through my mind as I was preparing for the program. Psalm 115, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, where is their God? But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. That is, our God is absolutely sovereign. He's the source of truth. He's the source of salvation. And he is the absolute source of reality because he does whatever he wants. And nobody can ask him, what are you doing? Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throats. Those who make them are like them, so is everyone who trusts in them. And I got to thinking, Steve, this sounds like humanist man. He has hands, but not really, because he hasn't quite got to the point of carving his hands out of the stone.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? He said, I'm going to set about to create myself. And by the way, I'm going to recreate my own identity. I'm going to create my own sexual orientation. I'm going to establish my own gender. I'm going to recreate myself, my own reality, my own truth, my own ethics. But the problem is, he doesn't have hands yet. He said, I'm going to establish truth, but he doesn't have a brain yet. I'm going to establish my own reality. Well, but not really, because man is not capable of sourcing his own truth, his own reality. He was acting like he could define these things. He was playing the part of a god, but not really. And thus, when you get to the postmodern age, he's left with nothing but the meaninglessness of modern life. And he certainly cannot save himself. That's a joke. So what happens when the great presidents of the world come home to their wives? And the wife says, how did you save the world today, honey? And he says, oh, there's nothing to it. I just issued another $100 trillion and drove the worldwide debt to GDP ratio up to 800%. And then she says, isn't that what you did with the last crisis? And he said, yep, works every time. Behold yep. your savior, then, Steve. Behold your savior.
Yeah, in the end, we all die. So it doesn't matter. I mean, we can pass it on to our kids. And in the end, just like John Maynard Keynes said, in the end, we all die.
Yeah, that was the famous line of John Maynard Keynes, the economist that is behind Trump and Japan and Reagan and those that have increased the debt to GDP ratio exponentially over the last 30 years. It was a Keynesian outlook. John Maynard Keynes, the most famous homosexual of the last century, probably the most depraved man of the last century. If you read his biographies, they're awful. They're triple X rated, even worse. But John Maynard Keynes is the most famous economist who established this route for the destruction of modern economies. And somebody asked him, well, in the long run, what will happen, John, to these economies? He took a moment and said, well, in the long run, we're all dead, which was true of a burned out, homosexualized society that doesn't care about their kids or grandkids because they don't have any. But in the end, I think we just have to come to the conclusion that, you know, man cannot save us. He just simply cannot save us. I really appreciate the point made in the book of Job. In fact, the book of Job ends with a sermon that is preached by God. And that's what makes it so interesting, because, you know, God is preaching. And it's a long sermon. It goes on for, what, three chapters, Steve?
Yeah.
It goes on. But here's the point of the sermon, the point of the book of Job. Listen to this. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? Have you an arm like God, or can you thunder with a voice like him? That is, do you have the ultimate authority, the ultimate source of truth, the ultimate source of epistemological authority? Do you have ultimate control over all of creation? Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who's proud and humble him. Look on everyone who is proud, bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in hidden darkness. And then I will confess to you that your own right hand can save you.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah.
That is, you know, okay, you can do everything I do in all of creation, all providence, in all of my exercise of my sovereignty over all of human reality. If you can do all of this, then, yeah, Job, you can save yourself. The silliness of man attempting to be autonomous, that is completely out from under God, defining his own identity, his own reality, his own ethics, his own truth, et cetera, is absurd. Yeah. Just absolutely absurd. He cannot save himself. And eventually people are going to understand this, I believe. Now, the other aspect to the breakdown of these economies, the other worldview issue, is existentialism. We've talked a little bit about humanism, but existentialism is even more destructive in some respects. It is the nihilistic element. It's the meaningless element. But there's also something of a destructive element, existentialism, that needs to be understood. This is really what Keynes is doing with modern economies. The idea that this is the idea that somehow our reality can be defined and determined and caused by man's unhindered, unaided choices, that man can act as a god, completely sovereign over an action without anything being imposed upon him from the outside. And so, therefore, the only reality that there is the reality we construct at the moment. And thus, John Paul Sartre told us to experience the moment, make the self-centered, self-oriented choice in the moment, and, quote unquote, to hell with everyone else, to hell with the future, to hell with your children and your grandchildren. Go ahead and implode your society and spend your great-grandchildren into debt. Just make your own unhindered, self-centered, self-oriented choice to establish slash sort of prove a reality for yourself in the immediacy. And that, my friends, was the existentialism of John Paul Sartre, which has been the dominating theme in Hollywood movies for, I'd say, 60 years. Well, those are the worldviews that have corrupted our economies. And I know that some of this is philosophical and difficult, but friends, the bottom line is repent, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. Repent, turn back to the Lord. Repent of the self-centeredness. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. This is just the opposite of all of these philosophies that have come out of humanism over the last 500 years. Stop the selfishness in your own life. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him work with his hands, so he may give to him who has not. We encourage you not to join the frenzy for more grabbing of more money being produced. Bankrupt yourself while giving to others instead of stealing from others to keep yourself going. And one of the practical things we've done recently, and even during this economic downturn, Steve, is, you know, our local churches here in the Elizabeth area are teaming up and helping starving Christians around the world. It's not just our church, but we're combining with other local evangelical churches. We have wonderful relationships in our community with other brothers in Christ who are pastors. And, you know, we're trying to help out starving Christians around the world. While the world economies are collapsing and while this horrible approach to handling the world economy is being conducted by the powers that be, hey, why can't we just be helping out our starving brothers and sisters in Nepal and Niger, as well as places like Zimbabwe, South Sudan, Myanmar, Haiti? These are the nations in which we're looking at probably close to 9 million people starving to death this year because of the 7-8% gross world product implosion. So, hey, no big deal. You know, let's just get out there and work with our hands so that we can have something to give to somebody who doesn't have. And what a wonderful opportunity to be Jesus, to be the hands and feet of Jesus during a major worldwide crisis. Jesus wants this of his people. It's just the opposite of the worldview of the existentialist, materialist, and humanists. Well, my friends, I just encourage you to figure out where Jesus is wanting you to give up of yourself and to help those who don't have anything. We are a long, long way from starving to death, but there are millions of people on the brink around the world right now. Just connect yourself with ministries that are doing this. Of course, the Worldview in 5 minutes presents opportunities on a regular basis. And as we wrap up this edition of the Generations broadcast, I encourage you to apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. I have an entire chapter on John Paul Sartre and another chapter on John Maynard Keynes, both key figures in the destruction of the Western world. In fact, the entire world economy. So if you want to understand the worldviews that have brought about this disaster, encourage you to read this book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, and contrast that with the worldview of Jesus, which is what we do in this book. It's called Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, available at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.